You know, when you think of a gift, I think you hardly ever think of struggling. Matter of fact, when God gave me the title, I was fascinated by the whole concept, gift and struggle. Oftentimes, when we want gifts, we want them nicely wrapped under the tree. We want to be able to just open it. We want it to be able to instantaneously bless our life in some capacity, some form. And those are wonderful gifts, but there is a gift called struggling. Matter of fact, some of God's best gifts are struggles. They're struggles. Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Don't be dismayed. For I'm about to bring you into a promised land. I'm going to give you a great gift, Joshua. But the whole time he's possessing the gift, it's a struggle. The whole time he's in there possessing the land, he's struggling to possess it. He comes to walls bigger than men could even fathom, walls of Jericho, and there's a struggle. He comes to it, and he has to march around it. The gift is there. God has wrapped it up for him, but it's a struggle to possess. I don't even think some of you realize it, that some of the struggles you're going through is nothing more than God trying to get you to a place to possess blessings you haven't even fathomed right now. Some don't even realize that God is bringing you places and taking you places, and you're struggling to get there. And some of you are just kind of, you've been fighting the devil back and forth, and it's been an all-out war in your life, in your family, in your home, and amongst your friends, and you don't even realize that God is blessing you with a gift. And all of it is wrapped up in a struggle. And as you're struggling, God is taking you to possess something. You see, I'm blessing my son right now. I'm blessing him with the gift of the knowledge of work. Now, don't get me wrong. My son is learning to love it, because he's learning that work pays. You see, he's going, he's working, he's doing his job, and at the end of the week, he gets what everyone loves, the paycheck. And oh, how he gloats over the money that he has in his hand when he gets that little bit of cash. He's like, "Woo, look at that. I got this cash." But there was a long time that my son wanted money for nothing. "Hey, Dad, you got $5? Hey, Dad, you got a dollar? Hey, Dad, let's go to Sonic and get a soda." After my son learned the cost of sodas at Sonic, he don't want to spend his money on a soda anymore. Because he added up the hours it would take to work to win him one soda from Sonic, and he realized it's not worth the wasted money, the hours of work. He's learning the benefit of the struggle. You see, the paycheck doesn't come until you've struggled through the work and done the job to receive the paycheck. You see, what God is doing in a lot of your lives tonight is that God is preparing you for blessings that you don't even see. You've been struggling to get there, like going to work when you don't really want to go. But you go, why? Because you know that at the end of the week, there's a paycheck. And so you struggle, and you go through it, and you deal with it, and there are people there you don't even like, right? And there are people there who get on your nerves, and the boss, he gets on you and tells you what you got to do, but you deal with it. You struggle through it, and the work gets hard, and you go with headaches, and you go when you're sick, because that paycheck is important. And I want you to know that the struggle is going to bring you a paycheck one day. When you struggle through the things and you're spiritually struggling, it's going to produce something in your life. God is going to bless you as you struggle. You got to realize that the paycheck's coming. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap. Don't quit yet. The struggle's bringing you somewhere. It's a gift. It's a gift. Because when the struggle's done, you'll fully appreciate where you are. I said you'll fully appreciate where you are. A lot of people, they get places and they're blessed. God can't bless people and just give it to them, because then they become spoiled. They become spoiled and they don't receive anything, and they can't be taught, they can't be trained, and they don't know how to get there with hard work and hard labor. So God has to discipline them, show them, and He uses struggles to do it. Now, God uses struggles to prepare us. The gift of struggles prepares us. And this is the first thing it does to prepare us. It disarms us. Struggles disarm you. And what that means is that you're no longer independent. You know, when you're falling apart, you've got to become dependent. You see, if God just puts you up at the CEO of the newspaper, but you never were a paper boy who delivered the paper, and you didn't know how to handle the work, and He just elevated you from the place of pauper to riches, if He lifted you up out of a place of working at Sonic and made you the head of all the franchises, you probably couldn't handle such a blessing. Because certain blessings have to be struggled to get to them. You can't expect to get to the great places in God if you're not going to struggle to reach for them. And you can't expect blessings to flow that are rich and full and overflowing and magnificent if you're not going to struggle through some things to get there, because you're going to have to battle. And the gift the struggle offers is to eliminate independence. Because if you just walked into it, you would say, look what I just did. But if the whole time you're getting there and you're like, boy, I'm just ready to quit, I don't think I'm going to make it, Lord, do you have a little bit more strength for me today? And then you take another step, and you needed Him to give you some strength just to pick up your leg and go another step. And you needed Him to bring a brother by or a sister by to say, listen, brother, I prayed for you. God's going to lift you up. God's going to strengthen you. And you wouldn't have been able to get there without God. And then you're going to have to look back and say, Lord, you really got me here. There's no way I could have got here without you. There's no way I would have made it if you didn't bring me here. You see, God can't just lift you up to a place of greatness. You're going to have to struggle in areas of your life that you never thought before. A lot of you have been praying, God bless me. And then God says, okay, are you sure? And you say, yes, Lord, I want to be so full of wisdom and knowledge. I want to be strong in you. And then you just asked Him to give you a spiritual workout. Let's do it. I'll bless you. And then the struggle comes and you go, oh, Lord, what are you doing to me? Lord, I asked for blessings and I don't understand. You see, Your sons and daughters can't be saved unless you start struggling and wrestling. Jacob on the other side of the Jabbok River began to wrestle with God. It was a struggle, and he struggled, and he struggled. And when God was done with Jacob, he was no longer Jacob. He was Israel, because he had prevailed with God. He learned how to struggle. And when did the blessing come? It was after the struggle. It was after the wrestling that the blessings came down upon him. It's only when we allow God to give us the gift of struggle that we'll finally feel the blessings. Matter of fact, it's when the struggle is over that we will feel the full weight of all the blessings and how wonderful it is, and we can truly savor the moment. It's when God just gives it to you that you become so spoiled you can't even taste it. Matter of fact, You don't want to taste it. You just want to own it. And that's the truth of many Christians. They just want God to just presto change-o, make everything perfect and good and right, and 12 steps to be happy, and 10 steps to never feel sad, and here's another self-help book, and that's what preaching has become today. Let me self-help you. Well, let me tell you how God helps you. He gives you the gift of struggle. That way, when you're falling apart, God can be right there. And you'll learn that through all of those struggles that you must be dependent on God. What did Joshua do walking around Jericho? He had to depend upon God because God was the only answer. The strength and the power of that gift was only through the struggle of marching around those walls. And when he did what God said, God gave him the gift. So God sometimes gives us a struggle so that you'll quit trusting you and start trusting him. Because if you trust too much on you, then you get there by your merits and not because God brought you there. And I cannot tell you how many times God has had to disarm me as a pastor. He's had to say, you can't get there without me. You can't achieve it without me. You can't fathom where I'm taking you. And so God will bring me personally through struggle so that I can learn to trust him. Matter of fact, I've learned how to say, God, before the struggle gets too bad, let me learn my lesson now. I'm serious. I ask him that. Once the struggle starts, all right, tell me what I need to learn. But not only does the struggle disarm us in preparing us for the blessings of God, but it also humbles us. Because what happens during the struggle is the struggle has a way of pinning you down. You see, us church people, we're good pretenders. Come on now, you guys are the best actors in the world. Hollywood don't got nothing on you. Right? Husbands and wives fight all the way to church, and when they come in, well, I'm so happy to be here. God, you know what I'm talking about. Someone got on your nerves. You were yelling at people driving down the road who cut you off all the way to church. The kids were getting on your nerves, and just before you got out of the car, you were yelling at the kids. And now you got out of the car, I was like, hey, I'm so glad to be here. Good to see you. And you put on this facade, this face, this front, when truly maybe inside there's a bit of a struggle going on, a bit of a blip in your life where you don't know really what's going on. You just got the face on to say everything's all right, but inside everything's not all right. And so God knows that in order to get you to the blessings he wants you to have, he's got to put the struggle on you to humble you so that you'll have to put down the facade. That you'll have to strip it off. And I think God is stripping people constantly. Get that off. That's just can't. That don't work. Clean these kids up. God's got to strip them down and clean them up and get them all stripped. And you know what's amazing? This is what people do when God starts stripping them. Oh, God, what am I going to do? I need you. God, I can't make it without you. Oh, God, I'm not going to be able to. I'll crawl to you, Lord. I'll crawl to you, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I know, God, you can do it. He has a way of getting us to a place of humility where we don't care what anybody thinks about us anymore. Where we don't care if Sister So-and-so is going to talk bad about us anymore. And we don't care about the kids in the car getting cut off anymore. All because God knows how to strip you down. And the struggle has a way of pinning you. And you see, Moses was pinned in. And the struggle made him get to a place where he was pinned down. Didn't it? The struggle pinned him in. Pharaoh's on one side and the Red Sea's in front of him, and the struggle's got him locked down, and everybody feels the weight of the struggle. Everybody feels it, and they know they're pinned in, but it's at that moment that Moses does exactly what is necessary. He says, stand still and see the salvation of our God. How is he got? How? Where does that come from? It comes from a place where God has stripped a man to trust that God's abilities and not his own. Moses didn't split a Red Sea. God split a Red Sea. The struggles has a way of causing us to fall down on our face. Not only does that happen, but the struggle is not only to prepare us, to disarm us and humble us, but struggles breed faith. Struggles will cause you to trust God where you would never thought possible. I mean, think about this for a moment. Do you think at all Moses had in his mind, God, you're going to have to split the Red Sea as he's walking there? It wasn't until that moment. I'm pinned down, God. Here I'm at, Lord. Have you ever been pinned down in a place and you're stuck? And you just don't know what's going on? And you don't know where you're going or whether you're coming or whether you're staying or whether you're up or whether you're down. You just don't know. Come on now, I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. Your emotions are like roller coaster rides, and you're trying to keep your faith as even keel as you possibly can, but your emotions are all over the board, and so your faith is teeter-tottering at times because of your feelings, and your family's running amok, and everything's going wrong. The bill's got to be paid, and the income isn't as much as the outgo, and the car is breaking down, and the boss is on the back, and everything's just... That's where Moses was. Everybody feels the weight of the struggle. He's pinned down, and there he is. And God says, just stretch out that rod. Faith was being birthed in a struggle. Right there in the midst of that horrible situation. Pharaoh's going to kill us. We're going to die out here in this desert. And God said, no, stretch out that rod. Stretch out that rod. And by that, faith began to rise up in the midst of a devastating situation. Because struggles breed faith. Struggles will create faith in areas you would never thought possible. God, you're going to part a Red Sea. God, you're going to flatten Jericho's walls. God, you're going to part a Jordan River. God, you're going to stop the sun for me. You're going to have to do it, God. You're going to have to call fire down from heaven. But when you get in a place where you let the struggle take you places, and if you'll let God give you the gift of struggling and quit whining and crying through it and start learning what God's trying to produce in your life, I'm telling you, you're going to go places in God that you never thought possible. If you'll let the struggle be a gift and not be just a drudgery to you, let the struggle be a gift that brings you to another place and another level with God. Go ahead, give him praise. I need breath anyway. Not only does the struggle prepare us by disarming us, keeping us in contact with God, not only does the struggle humble us by keeping us in a place of constant concern and care where God strips away the facade, not only does God disarm us and humble us, but he breeds an extraordinary faith in his believers through the difficult circumstances of life. He breeds trust and breeds in us a dependence that says, God, without you, I can't make it. That's why God loves struggles. Because the believer is at the right place in their life to 100% depend on God. But not only do struggles prepare us, it catapults us to another dimension. It takes us places and leads us places we would never have thought to go. Matter of fact, it will give you things that even when you pray, you wouldn't have gotten. You say, wait a second, I thought prayer changed. It does change everything. But the struggle has a way of causing you to go in areas you wouldn't have gone before, because your flesh would have stopped you from going there. But the struggle has done humbled you, and the struggle has disarmed you, and the struggle has bred faith in you you didn't know you could have or fathom. And so because of that, it has catapulted you into another dimension with God that you can work in areas you would not have worked in before. Let me give you some examples. The cross itself. The cross was a great struggle that catapulted humanity to another dimension with God. The Red Sea was a dimension that catapulted the children of Israel to another dimension with God. There's not an Israelite in Israel that doesn't know the story of the Red Sea. There hasn't been a child in years gone by that had not heard about Moses in the bulrush and the Red Sea. Why is that? Because it was a catapulting moment to another dimension. When God stopped the sun for Joshua, it was a catapulting moment for the people of Israel. It brought them to another level with God. It was the struggle that brought them there. If you even study the book of Acts and you do a detailed study, you'll find that revival is extremely prevalent. God is adding 3,000 here, adding 5,000 here. The Bible said God added daily to the church as the church needed. And the preaching was phenomenal. Stephen was awesome, and Paul was awesome, and Barnabas was awesome, and all these great men of God doing great things. Cornelius, revival at Cornelius's house, and revival in Samaria. And all these great miracles. But what you don't read and hear about a lot is that struggle and revival walk hand in hand. In Acts chapter 6, people drop dead in the church. If that ain't a struggle, brother, I don't know what is. I don't want none of you dropping dead in this church. But in Acts chapter 6, revival brought struggle. Ananias and Sapphira thought, I'll lie on the Holy Ghost. I'll lie and say I did these things. And when they truly did not do it, and they dropped dead that day. And the church was catapulted to another dimension, because the Bible said the church, they began to reverence God a whole lot more. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said that Peter was out there and he was on the roof. He's praying. He's seeking God. And a vision comes down, and a sheet full of animals that were classified unclean. And God said, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, I can't kill and eat. They're unclean. And God said, don't call unclean what I have cleansed. It was out of that struggle that the revival at Cornelius' house, it happened. It was birthed in a struggle. But Cornelius, the Gentile, the Italian man, he was brought into the fold through the struggle of a man in a prayer meeting. It is the struggle that has catapulted a new dimension. Philip, he wasn't planning on going to Samaria. It wasn't on Philip's day planner. I'm going to preach in Jerusalem this morning and tonight. I got to travel to Samaria and preach. He wasn't scheduled at the Samarian tabernacle. They didn't call him for an evangelistic crusade. You want to know why Philip went to Samaria? Persecution. Struggle. And the struggle was so great, the Bible said that Philip got up and said, I think it's time to go. And he went to Samaria, and guess what Philip the preacher did? He opened his mouth and began preaching. And the Bible said that many signs, wonders, and miracles were performed at the hands of Philip, a deacon in the church, all out of the midst of a struggle. They weren't talking about winning Samaria. They weren't talking about winning Antioch. But out of a struggle, there came a new dimension with God. And oh, I thank God for struggles. Because out of some of the hardest times in my life, God has given me the greatest blessings. I trust God more today than I ever did when I first got saved. And all of that trust was birthed in the struggle. Because when I was falling apart, I had nobody else to cling to. It had to be Him. If He didn't bring me through, ain't nobody going to bring me through this. But out of that struggle, God was able to bring me out. And I know that out of the struggles, God can catapult you to new dimensions and higher heights. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it joy. When's the last time you praised God for the struggle? Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful, wonderful trial that I'm going through. I know it's going to work out for my good, for all things work together for good to them are called according to your purpose. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm falling apart right now. Thank you for the family that's running amok in the car that won't run and the boss who runs me down. Come on, somebody. Count it all joy when it's all falling apart, when you're in divers temptations, because the Bible says that trial worketh patience. Look at your neighbor and tell him trials work. Oh, come on, that was kind of pathetic. Look at your other neighbor and tell him trials work. Trials work. And sometimes it gets difficult in those times to praise God in difficulty. But I want to remind you of a story in the book of Acts where a great blessing came out of a praise worship time in a struggle. Think for a moment about Paul and Silas. Everyone knows. Here they are in the innermost prison. Their backs have been beaten. I don't think it gets more difficult than that. Their hands and feet fast in stocks and bonds. They are completely locked down. And they began to praise God. Right in the midst of the trial, they're counting all joy, brother. They're counting all joy. The praise was so good that God had to come down and do a little foot stomp. Oh, they call it a Pentecostal one. And He stomped on that place and things began to shake around and the prison doors opened wide. And out of that struggle, salvation came to a jailer and all his family. Oh, I think God loves to give the gift of struggle. Matter of fact, when you won't listen, He'll give you something real good. When you get stubborn, you'll look at Him from flat on your back. Matter of fact, I'm praying for some people for God to just mess them up. And I'm serious. God, let them look at you from the flat of their back. Matter of fact, there's some people in prison right now. That's exactly what God is doing. Some of your family members, some of your friends that are falling apart right now, don't coddle them. I used to get all worried when people fell apart. Oh, what, I got to fix them. Oh, I got to fix them. Fix them, fix them, fix them. And now I'm just like, well, you know, the Lord's just trying to tell you, get up. Serve Him. Quit playing games. Quit running amok and you won't be falling apart all the time. I'm telling you, God knows how to work things out in us. And struggles have a way of working that stuff out. And I want you to know something. Our church is experiencing revival in a sense. God's adding to the church. God's blessing the church. And it's only going to get better. And I want you to know something, that when we walk in revival, watch for the struggle. My Bible says that in Acts, they began to murmur and complain. That when God added to the church and blessed the church and lifted the church up, and there was great numbers, that people began to murmur and complain because there was duties being neglected. Oh, don't tell me you hadn't heard that before. Well, the pastor, he hasn't called me in a while, and the pastor hadn't heard from you in a while either. Just thought you ought to know, the phone works both ways. Just so you know, my number is 530-0018. I have 180 people that I try to keep track of in this church. And a lot more than that, because I'm really trying to catch those sinners who come in periodically. And those are the ones I really want. And so I focus a lot of time on them, folks. But isn't it amazing that in the midst of revival, the struggle is there? It walks hand in hand. Matter of fact, I was praying the other week, and that's how this got inspired, this message, because I was praying and I was just interceding for some people that, you know, that the devil's trying to fill their minds with negativity and foolishness, and I just interceding for them, praying, God, please work things out, God, move in their heart, and I was just praying for them, and the Holy Spirit quickened my heart and said, where there's revival, their struggle. Because the devil's trying to tell me revival's done. The revival's not done. The struggle is nothing more than a test. It's the proving ground that God's got more. God's got more. They murmured against the church, and you know what they did? They went and found them deacons. And they went on with Jesus. And those deacons did an awful lot. Stephen, he preached at the temple steps. He was stoned. Philip went down to Samaria, preached a great revival. Great things happened. All because out of the struggle. If they wouldn't have chose these men, would they have stepped up? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But we know they did now. All of it birthed out of struggle. I think tonight you should praise him for the struggle. Come on, give him praise. I think you should praise him for it. Father, mess up our families. That just let them lay flat on their back and recognize you. I got family members I pray that prayer for. God, put them in a place, pin them down, let them recognize, let them focus on you. God, teach us through the struggle. Teach us through the struggle. No, it doesn't come wrapped up all pretty. And no, it's not going to bless you and just right away transform your life. But when God's gift of struggles are done with you, you will be stronger than you've ever been before. Sharper than you've ever been before. And the devil won't be able to pull you away as easily as he's done before. He won't be able to tear you apart. He won't be able to ridicule you, mock you. You've already been through that. That struggle's over. He'll take you to new heights and deeper depths, and he'll catapult you somewhere. But you got to let the struggle do it. You got to let the struggle do it. I believe this is why sometimes God leaves things in our lives. I've always been fascinated by this thought, because I've seen people that were full-blown drug addicts get saved, and they're completely delivered of drugs, but they're still bound by cigarettes. I'm always fascinated by that because I think God does it on purpose. I'm serious. That way they struggle through it and they learn to trust God as they battle it. And they learn how to war in their heart and in their mind. And they learn how to walk in a transformed mindset. I've seen Christians battle that. And I've always asked God, why don't you just, you know, boop, they're done. I don't think we could truly appreciate it if God all the time just said, oh, you need that? Here you go. Oh, you need that? Here you go.